right, welcome to the Michael Slate Show. I'm your host, Michael Slate, and I'm sitting here freezing today. That's right, if you could see me, I have a big coat and a hat on, and it's snowing inside the studio, okay? That's what it feels like. Anyway, welcome to the show this week. It's a very, very special show. I'm really pleased to be doing this show, and it's one that's extremely important, all right? I'm going to open up by doing something. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to open this up by reading something from Bob Avakian, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, because it's actually very fitting for the theme of the show, all right? It says, unbelievable as it may seem, in the 21st century, there are still people, including people in positions of power and authority, who are determined to force women to bear children, regardless of the situation, the feelings, and the better judgment of those women themselves. That is a way of enslaving women to the dictates of oppressive male supremacist patriarchal system. And that is what the cruel fanatics who are determined to deny women the right to abortion are really all about. Once again, that's from Bob Avakian, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, and kind of sets a little framework for our discussion. I'm really pleased to welcome to the show today Sansara Taylor. Sansara is a writer for Revolution Newspaper, RevCom.us, and an initiator of End Pornography and Patriarchy, the Enslavement and Degradation of Women. And we're talking now about the battle for abortion, the battle around Roe v. Wade, which is shaping up very quickly, very fast, very heavily. In the next, January 22nd, January 23rd, there's a big action called for. But as people know, there is a massive assault on abortion rights that's going on here now. And we're going to be talking with Sansara about why this is such a critical question for everyone today, why there must be a defiant mass outpouring on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And actually, how the hell are women going to get liberated in this world, all right? Sansara, welcome to the show.
Hey, Michael, it's great to be with you.
Yeah, you too. Let's talk about this. I was just saying the anniversary of Roe v. Wade decision is coming up, and as usual, there's all kinds of anti-abortion fanatics and fascists mobilizing against the right to an abortion. And this year, it seems even more sharp than usual, you know, pending all the pending court cases, everything else that's going on, the guy that just went in and tore up Planned Parenthood. All of this, it's happening, and it's clearly, there's a certain sense it's clear that the anti-abortion fascists are clear on what's at stake here, but I'm not so sure it's at the same level of clarity on the part of the people who think that abortion is an essential right that women must have. So let's start off with, why is it important that people don't just sort of ho-hum this upcoming thing around Roe v. Wade, that people actually get into it and take this up and fight it out?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I think there's not understanding. I think people know that there have been some anti-abortion laws passed. They know that maybe there's been some acts of violence here and there against abortion clinics. But really, I think that people have no real idea the scale and the scope of an emergency facing abortion rights. It's an intense and extreme emergency, and it's a largely invisible emergency. It's one that's felt by millions and millions of women. Huge numbers of women, people should know, this country is seeing an escalation because there have been so many abortion clinics forced to close because of medically unnecessary fascist anti-woman laws. There have been 100,000 women in Texas alone have self-induced abortions, attempted to induce their own abortions because they can't access a clinic. There's the Planned Parenthood, as you cited, in Colorado that was shot up, held hostage. And, of course, the media treated it like it was just another instance of gun violence. This was anti-abortion terrorism. There are doctors being stalked across this country. Half the clinics in the country have people in the clinics who've experienced targeted harassment and stalking and terrorism. That means they've been followed home. Or their children have been harassed at school. They've been hunted. They've been sent hate mail. Their parents in nursing homes have been harassed. This is targeted, widespread terrorism against abortion providers. It's doubled in the last 4 years, the rate at which that's happening. It's an abortion rights emergency. It's the young woman, Anna Yoka, who's in Tennessee. Tennessee is a state where you have a 48-hour waiting period. It's one of many states with a waiting period. So you don't have to just go to the clinic once to get an abortion. You have to make the trip more than once. You have to go. You have to wait 2 days. You have to go again. You have to take the time off of work twice. You have to have the money to travel because so many clinics are closed down. A lot of women have to travel great distances. If you have another child, you have to find childcare. You have to go through all kinds. If you're in an abusive marriage, or a relationship, you have to figure out how to get out of the house. You have to come up with the money to make the trip, and you have to make the trip twice. There's all kinds of hurdles and restrictions. So Anna Yucca was one of many people in this country who attempted to self-induce. She allegedly attempted to self-induce an abortion. She used a coat hanger. This was recently. She used a coat hanger. This is not 40 years ago. This is not 60 years ago before Roe v. Wade. She used a coat hanger, and ended up bleeding profusely, was scared for her life and went to the hospital. And instead of being treated like a woman who needed help terminating an unwanted pregnancy and should have every right to do so, the hospital intervened and removed the fetus and put it on life support and forced Anna Yoka to become a mother against her will, first of all. Then they turn her over to the state, and they get the police and the state involved. Anna Yoka has been charged with first-degree attempted murder. She's sitting in prison. She's sitting in jail. She's been in jail for 3 weeks, maybe a little longer. She's been in jail. She is somebody who was almost murdered by the state and all the anti-abortion laws that have been passed, but instead she is being charged with murder. And so Anna Yoka, she represents the lives of millions of women, and she's being made an example of, frankly. A legal precedent is being set, but an example. It's kind of like an honor killing. You kill one woman in a very public way, and you send a chill to every other woman. If you go to the hospital, if you can't find help to get a safe legal abortion and you take matters into your own hands, you better not show up at the hospital, even if you're bleeding to death, because you could end up in jail. This is what's being done right now. So this is, and I think that the quote that you began with from Bob Avakian is very germane, because he makes the point, unbelievable as it may seem, there are still people who want to remove from women the right to decide for themselves whether and when they will have a child. They want to force women to have children against their will, and it is a form of enslaving women, to the dictates of a male supremacist patriarchal system in society. It's a form of forcing women into a subordinate place to foreclose their lives, to have children against their will, to make their entire lives contorted and deformed. Look, having a child, if you want to have a child, can be wonderful. But if you don't want one, you're having your life foreclosed and deformed and funneled into a male, into being a breeder against your will. And in the context of a male supremacist, male-dominated society where you're treated with disrespect, where you don't have as many options, where the burden lands on the woman by herself with tremendous shame and very few resources. And I think this is the objective. This is the objective of the anti-abortion movement.
Let me ask you this.
Controlling women. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because that's an extremely important point in what you've just been saying. Because, look, you know, for a lot of people, there's the thing where people will say, okay, you know, yeah, but. You know, it's kind of, these are a handful of fanatics out there. This, you know, really, what does this have to do with the whole society? There's a lot more of us rational thinking, kind-hearted, good-willed people who are saying, no, we're not going to allow women to be pushed into virtual slavery. At the same time, it's sort of like, you know, people are looking at it as it's still really, I mean, that's treating it as it's some kind of like wacky leftover from a bygone era or an embarrassing blemish on what pretty much is an overall cool situation for women today. After all, we're not forcing them to be one of a harem of nine wives and, you know, the rest of this stuff, and they have no rights at all. Let's talk about that, because this seems to be, it's much heavier than I think what people initially and spontaneously just say, yeah, okay, it's important what you're saying, but it's not all that.
Yeah, I think I like the way you asked. Even people say, well, we wouldn't allow that. Well, first of all, wake up. You are allowing it. It is happening. I didn't make up the story I just told. I didn't make up the Planned Parenthood shooting or the stalking that's going on or the terrorism against all these other doctors. These are not minor phenomena, but they're also not isolated. I think you're right. These are not, and this is the way it gets portrayed in the mainstream bourgeois ruling class media, and then the way it gets portrayed by the Democrats, too, constantly. That we're making progress for women. Women have basically achieved their equality. There's a few leftover things. There's these out-of-touch Republicans. They're trying to take women's rights away, but they're out of touch. Actually, first of all, they're succeeding, first of all. But second of all, it's not the case that women are achieving all-around emancipation except for a few leftovers who are going for abortion rights. We live in a society where women are, they're stalked, they're beaten, they're raped at phenomenal levels, where it's more dangerous for a woman to be in her own home or a young girl to be in her own home than it is to be on the street, where domestic abuse is just rampant, where women are still, look, the culture, the mainstream culture, you click on the radio. I can say the word bitches on the air. There's all kinds of words I can't say, but I can say bitches. You could say hoes. You can play it in the music. You can bop your head to it. Kids are learning these words and learning to see women as such before they even know what they mean. Girls are learning this. You have the whole culture is saturated with violent, degrading, cruel pornography that's training boys and men to see the degradation and torture of women as sexually titillating. And that's coloring and shaping the way real men treat real women. And it's not a, these are not minor phenomena. These are major parts. They're cornerstones of the culture. And it goes along with the brutality. It goes along with the way that women are trafficked around the world, all over the world, including into this country and including girls in this country being pimped out at the age 12, 13 years old, and there being men who will purchase them. And not a, again, not a minor phenomenon, a major phenomenon. So it's all that. And then it's just the way that girls are, girls and women are bombarded with the message that their value is derived from being somehow a prized sex object or the smartest or the sexiest or the best catch for a man. And so their value, they starve themselves, they learn to hate themselves, they learn to play dumb, they learn to cut themselves. There's all kinds of ways that they internalize the worthlessness that this society tells them that they aren't worth anything unless they are a sex object or a breeder or somehow desired by men. And this is the world we live in, and it has a body count, and it has a psychic toll, and it has a trauma toll, and it affects every woman, and including the young women. I'll just say, including the women, young women and otherwise, who are told they've made it. They go to college. They have a career. They have a future. They're told you can achieve, too. You could be just as cutthroat and just as top dog as a man, which itself has problems. But at the same time, you still have to be that sexual performer. You still have to be the perfect household keeper. You still have to be, it's you're told you can have it all, but really what you're being told is now you have to conform to every sexual standard, every standard of what women, a subordinated woman is supposed to be. You're supposed to conform to all of them at once. And it's just, we don't live in a liberated society. This is a patriarchal, male-dominated society, and we need a revolution. It's one of the many reasons, the level of degradation and disrespect and harm caused to women is one of the many reasons, but it's reason enough by itself that this whole society, this whole system needs to be done away with, because it's 43 years after Roe v. Wade, and women are being killed to go get abortions. They're being imprisoned for that. We're going backwards. We need a revolution. We need a different society, a different world.
You know, Sansara, well, let me first remind listeners that you're tuned into the Michael Slate Show, and we're talking today with Sansara Taylor, writer for Revolution Newspaper, RevCom.us, and an initiator of End Pornography and Patriarchy, the Enslavement and Degradation of Women. Now, Sansara, what you're laying out, and that point about particularly this point about we need a revolution, I mean, when you think about this, even for people who recognize a substantial part of what you've been laying out about the situation of women, there is this point that's really, really just, I think, weighs heavily on people. You look at this and it's like, well, what the hell can we do about it? You know, there's limited room to move. There's, you know, I know people look at this and they say, you know, I do everything I can. You're advocating, you just said revolution is what's necessary for this. And I don't think that's something that people go, oh, yeah. I think we really got to get into and explain some of that. Why is revolution necessary and what? What are you talking about here?
Yeah, well, I think I wanted to say a couple things. One, I wanted to backtrack a little bit to your question on Roe v. Wade and just say there is a need for people to step forward. There are these demonstrations called the Stand Up for Abortion, and I want to come back to that because there's a need to act on this now. Revolution is not something passive where you're waiting someday later in the future we'll do something great. We're fighting now, and I want to come back to that in a minute. But by revolution, people need to look at RevCom.us. They need to go and check out the leadership of Bob Abakan. He's somebody who has been fighting for revolution, leading a revolutionary struggle in this country, but also creating a new foundation, a new theoretical framework for revolution and the emancipation of humanity all over the world, summing up previous revolutions and what has been accomplished and what can be accomplished. But one of the things he really hammers at is that, and he's correct in this, and this is at the foundation of a lot of the problems that then he's put himself to, is that he's recognized that as long as you have the economic system and the culture and the structures and the relations among people that flow from and are enforced by capitalism, imperialism, and the state that governs that and the laws that enforce it and the police that enforce it and the culture that reinforces it, as long as you have that, you can fight, you can resist, you can make some changes, but you will never get free. There'll be changes on a spectrum, and they'll be important, but they keep getting undermined, and we see that. We see that everything the 60s accomplished is being cut back and then some, you know, reversed and with revenge involved. And he's made the point, if you need to clear it away, you need to bring the system down, and you need to build a new revolutionary state power. You need to build a socialist state heading towards a communist world, and that is materially possible. And it's much more realistic. It's much more realistic than reforming the system to be something that it can't be. And if that's true, which it is, then you need to put yourself to the problems involved in making that kind of revolution. And how do we prepare people? How do we prepare the grounds? How do we bring forward and hasten the development of a situation where millions can be led to go all out to fight to bring this system down and build a new society and a new state? And how do we then, how would such a struggle be won? And how, what would a new society and new state power look like? And this is something Bob Avakian has taken responsibility for. And the scope of all of what that means, it goes beyond what you and I can get into, and even in a short interview. But it's at revcom.us, and BA has done the work, including leading and developing a constitution for the new Socialist Republic of North America that lays out how we could do, starting day one, how we could actually build an economy and a state and a culture where, first of all, among other things, women have access, unstigmatized, unrestricted access to birth control and abortion, so that they can actually control for themselves when and whether they're going to have children, so they can be full human beings and viewed as such, where things like the rampant, violent, degrading, dehumanizing pornography, that's not a cornerstone of the culture. That's going to be shut down, not through puritanism, not through suppressing all expressions of sex. And in fact, we're going to take on religion too, and all the social mores and stigma and shame on women's bodies and sexuality that comes with that. We're going to take on all of that so that women will be viewed as full human beings, including in the sexual realm and sexual liberation, but also including every other realm that women are locked out of in this society. And those are just some of the dimensions in the education system, in the culture, and in the laws that will be given the backing of the state. And then you look at, you know, in the Constitution, you go through, people will have the right to eat. We're not going to degrade and despoil the environment. The police will not be marauding and terrorizing and brutalizing poor and oppressed people. We'll be overcoming white supremacy and oppression. So these are all, you know, they're laid out in great detail and great living, you know, and a lot of work was done here. And this is, you can find it at revcom.us, but this is real. And BA, Bob Avakian has been leading this, and this is real, and this is something everybody, if you really want to end slavery in every form, if you want a different world, you have to get into this leadership. You have to actually, if we don't make a revolution, humanity will continue to be ground up the way it is today.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, you've made this point about we need to make a revolution. Now, this is sort of where I think actually we need to sort of hook up with the other thing, too, because, okay, you're saying we need to have this revolution. What are you also saying? And then you're also saying, and we need to fight this assault on women, this stuff around Roe v. Wade and all the other ways that the assault on women comes down, but especially in relation to the abortion rights and the assault on Roe v. Wade. What's the connection there? I mean, you're talking about to people, you're saying, look, really, we need a revolution if we're ever going to resolve any of this. And I think people are going to say, okay, well, then what about, why is it so important to take this other stuff up?
Well, I think revolution, like I said before, it's not a passive affair. We're not sitting back saying, well, we don't want to get our hands dirty with the messiness of this distasteful system, so we'll wait for the revolution. No, this system is a horror. It's a mess. It's a nightmare for humanity, all parts of its functioning. And so we need a revolution. We need a different system. And to get there, people need to fight back today. We need to get into the theory and the leadership. We need to get organized for a revolution, and we need to fight the power on that foundation and unite with people coming from whatever perspective you're coming from. If you recognize that it's in the DNA of this system of capitalism and imperialism for women to be treated as less than fully human, to be oppressed and degraded and controlled through the patriarchal family, to be denied their basic reproductive rights, to be shamed and stigmatized for their sexuality and their sexual desires. If you recognize that that is built into the foundation of this system, then you recognize even more than anybody why you can't rely on this system to beat back these attacks. And you have to rely on the people themselves to stand up and fight against it. And right now there are millions and millions of people. Most of them are not aware of it because the emergency facing abortion is so invisible. It is so unspoken. It is so covered over. It is so played down, including by the very people that people have been trained to look to protect them on this front. The Democratic Party and other so-called leaders in the so-called women's movement are playing this emergency down so people don't know. But the fact is, millions and millions of people are going to be and are already being affected by this assault on abortion rights. And those are people who can be aroused and awakened to the need to stand up and fight back against this, but only if we tell them the truth, that like the quote from Bob Avakian that you began with, the fight over abortion has never been about babies. It's about controlling women. And if people understand what's at stake and we get out there with the truth that women are not incubators, women are not breeders, fetuses are not babies, abortion is not murder, and this needs to be resisted, we can actually lead people, hundreds, thousands, and ultimately millions, to stand up and fight back against this and to change ourselves, to beat back these attacks, and actually create much more favorable conditions for an actual revolution. So those things are of a piece.
All right, let me remind you that this is the Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host, Michael Slate. And we're talking today with Sansara Taylor. Sansara is a writer for Revolution Newspaper and an initiator of Stop Pornography and Patriarchy, the Enslavement and Degradation of Women. And in addition to that, Sansara, as a revolutionary, has been out in the forefront of helping to lead a whole campaign to turn back the ferocious assault, the horrible attacks on women's right to abortion all across the country right now.
Look, you've opened up a whole lot of other issues and arguments and all this other stuff, objections to what you put forward, all this kind of stuff. It's sort of like you are saying, I mean, this is one of the things, I know somebody was asking me this the other day. They kind of said, all right, well, look, you're saying that none of this stuff around the oppression of women, for instance, can be resolved under capitalism. And yet at the same time, you're telling me to fight against this so that we can push back some of the attacks. And they were saying, are you using this as a game to get me into the revolution scene? Or is it real that you can, that there's both a necessity and a possibility of pushing some things back, but it's not going to solve the problem? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think there's no game involved in revolution. And there's no trick going on. I think we should be very honest with people. It's going to take a revolution to end patriarchy. It's going to take a communist revolution. It's going to take the kind of revolution that Bob Avakian has re-envisioned, that communism. Because he's re-envisioned communism, including in significant dimension in how it understands and relates to and takes up the fight for women's liberation as a cornerstone and a driving force, actually, in the emancipation of all humanity. And that's the truth. And if you care about liberation, you have to do the work. You have to get into what Bob Avakian has done on this question. He wrote a pamphlet, a compendium was put together that pulls together some of his many writings on the oppression and liberation of women called Bob Avakian on the Liberation of Women and the Emancipation of Humanity. And people should read it. People should read the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic. People should get into what he's done and evaluate, is this true or not true? Is there any other way to solve these problems? And the solutions that Bob Avakian has fought for and brought forward and the active leadership he's giving to the movement for revolution, if this is taken up and fought for, where will it lead? And people should get into that. At the same time, we do need to fight. And Avakian has stressed this as well, and he's given a lot of leadership. Frankly, I've been fighting I've been a leader in the fight for abortion rights for two decades now. All of that has been guided by and led by the active and ongoing leadership of Avakian that he's been providing. So we've been fighting very actively on this. But I think this thing, it's a real emergency. We're not making that up either. Google Anna Yelka. Google the 100,000 people who self-induced in Texas. Google the fact that every single week and a half in this country, an abortion clinic is forced to close. And then think about what it means for women to experience a late period, to start to get worried that their period is not coming, that they may be pregnant, and the whole world comes crashing down on them. And they're told there's nobody they can talk to because they've done something wrong. They're 15 years old and they think they're committing a sin, and their mother and their grandmother and their priest, all they're afraid to tell them, or if they tell them, they're going to make the girl have a child. Think about what it means for millions of women who are heaped with this stigma and shame, whose lives are foreclosed, and who then, even if they find their way through that and they make it to a clinic, or they try to go to a clinic, they have all these obstacles. They have people hurling insults and screaming at them on the way into the clinic. So they have people blocking their access, making it so that they have to travel too far or raise too much money. Think about the reality of that and ask yourself, does this need to be fought or should this be accepted? Mm-hmm. And right now it needs to be fought. It needs to be fought by everybody. Everybody who cares about this should get into the revolution. But as you do, and wherever you're at in that, this needs to be fought now. And ask yourself this. When in the history of this country was any advance made for the oppressed, whether it be Black people during the civil rights struggle or the Black liberation struggle, whether it be women in the way that the right to abortion was won in the first place, whether it be any other section of oppressed people, those who wanted to stand up against the wars for empire that this country has waged, when has anything been accomplished without people stepping out of their comfort zone and going into the streets and changing the way others think by putting themselves on the line and changing the course of history? And we're not making this up. This is an emergency, and it needs to be fought. And there's no other way it's going to be changed. There's nobody in power who's going to stop it for you. They have no interest in it, and their track record proves it. And so you have to get out, and you have to be part of doing the work to resist this.
All right, Sansara, we're going to take a quick break and be right back. So, Sansara, stay there, all right?
Okay.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. Well, I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart. Remove all the bars that still keep us apart. I wish you could know what it means to be me. Then you'd see and you'd agree that every man should be free.
All right, welcome back. Nina Simone with I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free. I thought it was an extremely appropriate song to be bringing up right now. Sansara, welcome back to the discussion here.
Hey, Michael. You know, right before we took a break, I was just making a point I wanted to add one thought to, which was I was talking about why people need to stand up and fight the emergency facing women's abortion rights right now. But I wanted to link that explicitly to these protests coming up on January 22nd in Washington, D.C., and on January 23rd in San Francisco. This is the anniversary of the date when the Supreme Court granted women the right to abortion. Or actually when the Supreme Court conceded to a very hard-fought battle to win the right to abortion 43 years ago. And ever since then, every single year on Roe v. Wade, there's tens of thousands of anti-abortion fanatics, and they organize, and they take to the streets, and they're indoctrinating a generation, and they're out there opposing not only abortion, but birth control, too. And here we are in this emergency facing women's right to abortion and birth control. And this is where people need to be. They need to be out there showing and making a statement. Women are human beings. Women are not breeders. Abortion is not murder. Forced motherhood is female enslavement, and we will not stand for it. And that needs to be visible. People need to put their bodies on the line. They need to be out there so the world can see that, standing up for that, changing the way others think, and going in the face of these fascists and not letting it be unopposed. And that's, you know, I was making the point before, there's a need to stand up and fight back. There's a need to get into the revolution and the leadership of Bob Avakian to make a real revolution. And there's a need to fight back now. But there's a date. There's a date and there's a place, and it matters to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's the time to be together with others. January 22nd in San Francisco. You can find all the details at stoppatriarchy.org or revcom.us and January 22nd in Washington, D.C.
So it's the 22nd in Washington, D.C., and the 23rd in San Francisco, huh?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. And Sansara, I just want to let people know that we are talking with Sansara Taylor, and we're talking about the upcoming battle around Roe v. Wade and the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and what she was just talking about, the demonstrations, but also the bigger questions just concentrated up in this and in terms of the need for revolution in society around this and around everything that's coming down in this society. All right, so Sansara, one of the things that you're talking about, it brings up a lot of issues, and including from people who, you know, view themselves as like, look, I'm on the right side of things, you know, and I've heard a lot of people say this, like, look, I'm on the right side of things, but, there's always a but. And even people who are good progressive people, but they somehow see something immoral about carrying out an abortion, that it's kind of a necessary evil, but there's still a morality question. After all, you're killing a potential life. Can we talk about that a little? Because I think this question, the role of religion, that's something that really, I think, is something that people grab onto and use to justify a sort of, at best, half-hearted approach around abortion.
Yeah, well, there's a number of parts to what you just asked. But first of all, fetuses are not babies. And it's really important because they're portrayed, they're shown all these pictures, you see them, they're practically little babies, they're just inside some little, you know, sea of something that you never really notice as a woman, because that's not the way it's portrayed. Fetuses are not babies, they're a part of a woman's body. They have the potential to become a person, but they're not people. And terminating a pregnancy is, yes, killing a potential life, but it's not murder, it's not killing a person, it's terminating a natural process. Because a woman should only have a baby if she wants to have a baby. And so if there's something developing inside her body that is going in a direction of becoming a child and she doesn't want to have a child, she should terminate it. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no shame in that. There's no immorality in that. And I think it's really important that when the question of abortion gets discussed and the question of morality of abortion gets discussed, it always gets posed up around the morality or the supposed immorality of killing a fetus. And what's always erased is the woman. And the fact is, when it comes to abortion, not only are fetuses not babies, and there's a science of that, and there should be no shame in that, but there is a moral question, not about the fetus. The moral question is about the woman. The only moral question about abortion is, are you going to force women to have children against their will? Are you going to live in a society that does that? Or are you going to treat women as full human beings who have the control themselves over when and whether they will have children? And one is completely immoral. Forcing women to have children against their will is completely immoral. It treats women like their lives do not matter, that their dreams do not matter, that their choice about what to do with their bodies, it is a form of enslavement, and that is immoral. And that's the only moral question about abortion. So that's the first part. And I think people need to recognize. And that's why abortion's being fought over. I think it's, you know, one of the very, very, 20 years ago, I first defended an abortion clinic that was under siege by a huge, fanatical, crazed bunch of Christian fascists. And what struck me, and this is something that Bob Avakian has really identified and written about and emphasized, what struck me, and then what I learned more deeply through the writings that he's done on this, is that these people who were outside the clinic, they were not praying for babies. They were praying, and I will quote to you, "Lord, please break this curse of independence that has afflicted women." They were praying to end abortion because it has undermined women's subordinate role in the family. And they are driven at the core by a biblical literalist view of what women's role should be. It should be subordinate to the man. Women should submit to the husband as the husband submits to the Lord. They're driven by the view that women supposedly caused original sin, ate from the tree of knowledge and tempted Adam, and got humanity cast out of the so-called Garden of Eden, which is a myth. It's a fable. It's a harmful myth. It's made up. It's not true. But because of this myth, the story goes on to say that women caused us to be cast out of the Garden of Eden, and everything bad that has ever happened is because there's a fallen nature of man because of what Eve did. And we're all bad, we're all messed up, and we can only redeem ourselves by accepting this Jesus Christ figure, who was a fanatic and somebody who upheld patriarchy and slavery and all of this himself, and was completely against science. All of this is to go for Jesus. And at the same time, a special curse is put on women. And if you read the Bible, this is what it says in Timothy, is that women, because of their role in the Garden of Eden, they can only redeem themselves by obeying their husbands and having children. And this anti-abortion movement has really grabbed a hold of that. And they're going after abortion, and they're going after birth control because they want to restore that subordinate position of women. And it's not like women have become liberated in an all-around way, But there's certain dimensions of the traditional family that have been broken down in the last few decades, in the last couple of generations, and they're freaked out by this, and they want to reassert violently and revengefully, reassert that kind of open male supremacy and patriarchal family. And that's why they're fighting abortion, and that needs to be taken on. That is a nightmare. Mm-hmm. It's every bit as reactionary as the ISIS view of women.
I was just going to say, this is ISIS you're talking about, right? What about Christians?
Yeah. Well, it's the same. It's the exact same. Mm-hmm. I mean, the books are written in the same era, you know, the scripture that motivates them. And the end result is the open enslavement of women. And that's the march they're on. And that needs to be taken on. It needs to be politically resisted and fought. People need to step out in the streets, and they need to mobilize everybody they know, families, friends, coworkers, fellow congregants. If you're religious, get out there and fight against this. Be in the streets for these demonstrations on January 22nd and 23rd for abortion on demand and without apology. And at the same time, we need to be challenging those who are indoctrinated in this biblical worldview. We need to be taking on the foundations of that. The Bible taken literally is a horror, and it's not true. It was written by human beings, not by God. It was written by human beings in agrarian, patriarchal, slave-owning societies that stoned women who were not virgins when they got married, that killed children who were disobedient, that killed gays and lesbians, that enforced slavery. All of this is the scriptures, okay? Nobody should want to live that way. And we should challenge people to confront what's actually in their so-called holy books. And we should shake them out of this. This is something, you know, Bob Avakian wrote this book, Away With All Gods, Unchaining the Mind and Radically Changing the World. And he goes into this very deeply, hammering at the foundations of this scripture and really fighting for people to have the critical thinking and the scientific tools that they could take up instead to understand the world and be able to act in the interest of emancipating humanity. And that we should stop sidestepping this talk of religion. We should take it on head on and break people out of it, even as we unite with people who are progressive religious people coming from a place where they want to help defend women's rights. They should join us in saying that the Bible should not be taken literally. All this dark ages scripture should not be enforced. So this is a fight we have to go on frontally.
All right. And I want to let you know that we have about 19 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, 19 minutes left. So I want to, and I have an hour's worth of more questions. Okay. So we'll get into this.
It's a lot. It's
yeah,
a lot. Okay,
yeah,
I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
I got you. No, it's a lot to talk about.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Now, your references, and you're encouraging people to get into BA. Now, one thing, I just want to deal with some of the things that come up that people raise, and, you know, maybe after reading something you've written or discussions with people. There's a question that comes up, and think a lot of feminists might say, look, BA, clear, BA is a man. And it's kind of not really possible for a man to really deeply understand, let alone lead a fight against something that impacts women so deeply and on so many levels. And you think about this, it really combines with a whole lot of things. The idea that even revolution is a male solution. So there's this question of how can you put this all on BA as a man, is he really capable of deeply understanding this and leading a fight against it?
Well, first I have to say, we are lucky to be on the planet at the same time as Bob Avakian. He's a rare kind of revolutionary leader who has been somebody who both has developed theory. He's developed the theory of human emancipation, a scientific approach to this, and a whole new framework. He's the architect of a new framework of human emancipation that actually, for the first time in human history, really fully grasps and has an approach to the liberation of women in the context of the emancipation of all of humanity that could get to the final goal of really being in a world where women are no longer viewed as less than, as property of. For the first time in human history, really. So he's developed this theory and this framework which stands up, dig into it. At the same time, he's somebody who has, and the two are related, a very, very deep, visceral feeling for the conditions and outrage at the oppression that women face. And I defy you to find anybody who speaks with greater passion, with greater substance, or greater sweep about the liberation of women and about the emancipation of all oppressed humanity. He's somebody whose heart and whose head is fully in this, and he's somebody who has developed answers as a communist leader, as somebody who's looking honestly at the contradictions that we have to traverse to make an actual revolution to get to human emancipation. And he's developed answers and filled a great need. He's not done this as a man. He's done this as a communist. He's not done this as a white man. He's done this as a communist. And people need to get into that. And all I can say is that if you don't know that, then if you think that a man can't lead this, you either haven't thought much about what it's really going to take to make a revolution, or you haven't engaged Bob Avakian. And if you sincerely care about getting free, if you sincerely care about it, we need more than feelings. I'll make this distinction. No, he's never had the experience of being a female. In that sense, he doesn't know what it's like to be female. But that's something that you can learn some things from. But just being female does not mean that you understand where your oppression comes from, or even that you are oppressed, or what the solution is, any more than having an illness makes you better qualified to cure that illness than being a doctor who studied the illness. You know, and so I just think you gotta get beyond that if you really want to get free. You owe it to not only yourself but to humanity to really engage and deeply engage the work BA has done on this.
All right, let me remind you that this is the Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host, Michael Slate. And we're talking today with Sansara Taylor. Sansara is a writer for Revolution Newspaper and an initiator of Stop Pornography and Patriarchy, the Enslavement and Degradation of Women. And in addition to that, Sansara, as a revolutionary, has been out in the forefront of helping to lead a whole campaign to turn back the ferocious assault, the horrible attacks on women's right to abortion all across the country right now. What about people who say, and this includes a lot of people who, you know, would say, look, I'm supportive of revolution. I'm supportive of a revolutionary solution. But really, you know, you're talking about something that's way off in the future. And I'm talking about we're actually dealing with a problem that's like really pressing right now. And then they begin to argue for all kinds of intermediate solutions. And I'd like to hear your thinking on that, because there's a lot of these, both that in general, and then we can get into some particulars.
Well, the reason these crises facing women are so pressing right now is because we still live under the system of capitalism, imperialism, that has inherited patriarchy from previous systems, but it has it woven into it. And if we had made a revolution in the 60s, it wouldn't be. We'd have different crises. We'd have different urgent battles, but they'd be battles on how to push the fight for liberation further, how to overcome even more obstacles, how new thinking has been opened up and new opportunities have been opened up. And how do we take this even further? Not how are we fighting the same fight that my mother or grandmother fought, you know, and how are we keeping ourselves from going further backwards? So if we have a revolution, that's how we get out of a constant crisis. The constant crisis is caused by this system. And the way you get closer to a revolution is the same way it overlaps with how you fight to beat back and gain ground even today. The resistance that needs to be waged is the only way to beat back the assaults on women. It's the only way to change and lift the stigma that women feel and the shame that women feel. It's the only way to make the fascists feel that they have to take a moment and pause and maybe recalibrate what they're doing. It's the only way to beat back these attacks. And it's actually part of, at least from those my perspective, from those of us who are fighting for a revolution, everybody should fight these assaults right now. But if you're serious about making a revolution, then fighting these assaults are part of how you prepare the ground for that. So, I mean, that's just the fact. That's just the reality. And we need to confront that. There's no shortcut. If there were, we would have had it by now. People have tried very hard. They've tried the reforms. They've tried every working within the system. This has been going on. And that's actually what's allowed us to stay in a crisis.
Let's keep digging into this, because it's still what you're saying. We still got to speak to this point about intermediate levels that we can work on. Because there's people, look, people are going to say, and especially this time of the world, where the world is right now, and the fact that we are now going full throttle into the election season, and there's this whole idea of if we simply make sure that Trump and the rest of this clown circus of fascist clowns, that if we can keep them out and we can get people at Congress get them at bay, and we can actually really bring in reasonable Democrats, this is going to make a big difference. And this is better than doing nothing or talking about pie in the sky revolution.
Well, it's not true. Look, the fascists are really terrifying. Trump is a nightmare for humanity. I don't think anybody can rival me in finding him detestable and horrifying, and his social base and the fact that he's getting so much play, a deeply, deeply terrifying prospect for what is happening in this country and potentially to the world. But the Democrats are not an answer. They're not an answer. They're part of the same system. And supporting the Democrats, I have to say, supporting them to fight this, it's worse. It's allowing yourself to be channeled. And I know this thing right now, people want Hillary. They want to, look, some people want Bernie because he's so-called socialist, which he is not. He's an American chauvinist, empire-hungry rebrander of capitalism. He's not a socialist. But people like Hillary because they say, oh, we could have a woman. Maybe she'll understand, and especially when it comes to abortion, we could have Hillary. It'd be good to have a woman, and she's taken a stand for abortion rights. Look, Hillary and the Democrats have been one of the worst things that has ever happened to the women's movement. It has tied people who want women's liberation to the system itself. Hillary is a war criminal. She's been part of crimes against humanity, okay, first of all. And second of all, she and the Democratic Party have been part of channeling people and into dead ends and into, Bob Avakian has made the point, the more you try to make the Democrats be what they cannot be and never will be, the more you end up becoming like what they actually are. And actually, people supporting Hillary and the Democrats has allowed people to be lulled to sleep, to an actual emergency, to have their anger tempered and pacified, and to have them accept, you know, kind of trying to take the edge off fascism rather than ending all oppression and fighting against this. And once again, I'm not advocating that people do nothing. I'm advocating that people step outside of what are very, very harmful channels. Hillary is very harmful to humanity and to women, and be part of, yes, getting serious about revolution, going to revcom.us and finding out the real alternative and leadership that Bob Avakian is providing for a whole different world, which would actually be very uplifting, is very possible, is not without struggle and sacrifice, but really, really possible and needed, and you need to be part of. And today, take up the fight right now, and wherever you're coming from, be part of being in the streets in January 22nd and 23rd, be part of standing up to beat back the attacks on abortion rights, and be part of changing the political direction in this country the way it actually can be changed.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get into that in a minute, but let me ask you this, because there's a brother just called in, a Native American brother just called in, and he wanted to make a point around another thing, another idea in terms of what, you know, what could really mark the change, mark a way to change things. And he said the patriarchy is not human nature. He wanted to emphasize that point. But he also said some Native cultures were matrilineal. And even, you know, I've heard a lot of people argue that, a lot of feminists argue, and both men and women who consider themselves feminists, who would argue that, look, the problem is that you have a patriarchal society. And if you had a matrilineal society, this kind of situation would not be what we're dealing with.
Well, I appreciate the comment. It is not human nature. And there have been, he's right, there have been in history, indigenous peoples in different parts of the world, and actually, through a huge part of human history, probably the majority of societies in our earliest human history were matrilineal. Lineage was traced through the mother. There was no patriarchy. I think what this shows is that it's not human nature to have men dominating women. It's not the only way it can be. We have the capacity to be different. But in this era, unless the state power that rules over us and enforces a system of exploitation, profit-driven system that has patriarchy woven into it and has laws and armies to enforce that, unless that is overthrown and brought down, not tomorrow, but when there's a crisis and we're working to prepare people to be able to seize on such a revolutionary crisis, until that's overthrown and cleared away and a new state power is built, that is a socialist state heading towards a communist world, you will not be able to uproot the conditions that give rise to and reinforce patriarchy. You will not be able to clear it away. But with a revolutionary state power, with the new synthesis of communism that Bob Avakian has developed, with that approach and moving humanity towards that, we could not only get back to the kind of egalitarian equality, but even beyond equality between women and men and all genders, where people are just people relating cooperatively together. We can do that for the 7 billion on the planet. not by going back, but by going forward on the foundation of all the abundance that's been created, all the technology, all the resources, but putting them in the service of humanity as a whole. And so I think, you know, if we had more time, we could go back and forth on some other things related to his question. But I think he brings up an important point. And it does. It's one of many examples, one of many points of evidence of the fact that we could live a different way, but we need a revolution to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me remind you that this is the Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host, Michael Slate. And we're talking today with Sansara Taylor. Sansara is a writer for Revolution Newspaper and an initiator of Stop Pornography and Patriarchy, the Enslavement and Degradation of Women. And in addition to that, Sansara, as a revolutionary, has been out in the forefront of helping to lead a whole campaign to turn back the ferocious assault, the horrible attacks on women's right to abortion all across the country right now. Now, we have exactly 6 minutes before we got to run out of here, but I wanted to get this in, and I know you want to talk more about why it's so important for people to actually get behind and get out on the 22nd and the 23rd and take this battle up. And I wanted to kind of link that also with this idea that, look, people, again, the various things that people can find, the various ways that people can find that are, you know, that they think they're doing really good things and that they're taking up the fight, the supporting Planned Parenthood, supporting abortion funds, you know, this kind of stuff. But oftentimes it gets posed as sort of, I'm doing this, but I'm not going to be out in the streets fighting this. Let's talk about that some. What do you think of that?
Look, I don't think that giving your money to the Democrats is harmful. That's bad. People should stop doing that. They should stop funneling themselves into that. They should give their resources to people who are fighting this, to the revolution. They should give it to BA Everywhere to help get Bob Avakian's leadership known all over. They should give it to StopPatriarchy.org that is leading a fight to stand up in the streets. There's all kinds of places where your resources would matter and not do harm. As for Planned Parenthood, look, they're a service provider. They provide services, and in that they do enormous good for a lot of women, but they are not going to spearhead a political fight against this. And in fact, they themselves are very tied into the Democratic Party and the getting along and going along and accepting the terms of an anti-abortion war, frankly. They're not propagating anti-abortion, but they're conciliating with it. They're downplaying abortion. They're not. And you know what? They're a service provider. What is needed right now is a fight. What is needed right now is a resistance. And so there are many things people can do to try to help a few women today. But if you want to get to a place where the future is not the back alleys, if you want to get off a trajectory where you're helping a few women as ever more clinics close, as ever more stigma and shame mounts, as ever more restrictions are imposed, if you want to get off that trajectory, you need to join the fight. You need to stand up. You need to join the Stop Patriarchy. You need to get your organization or your community group involved or your friends, or come by yourself and meet some new people. They're great people. You'll have an amazing time. You'll learn how to find your anger. A lot of women, especially young women, but not only, are afraid to say the word abortion out loud. They're afraid to stand up for themselves. They are told that it's selfish to stand up for women. Come and be with others and unleash the fury that is pent up in women throughout this society. And men need to be there too. And people of all genders, all sexualities need to stand up January 22nd in D.C., January 23rd in San Francisco. Be together with others in the face of the fascists, in the eyes of the world, and putting and making it known to the millions of people who are experiencing this invisible emergency, make them see that there's a force stepping forward to fight this that they can join with. And let's make 2016 a year where the struggle for women's liberation actually sends shockwaves around the world, the way the struggle against police murder has begun to. Let's learn from the way they put that center stage and made everybody pay attention. That needs to go much further. And that's part of the revolution, too. But around women's liberation, this is half of humanity being enslaved, shackled, shrouded, humiliated, tormented. This is worth fighting. This is worth fighting for. It's worth making a revolution for, and it's worth getting out of your comfort zone and spend one day in the streets. See how it feels, and then follow it up, because this is what humanity needs. Women, there is a war on women, and it's going to go one way or the other, and you have a role to play in which direction it goes.
All right, Sansara Taylor, thank you very much for joining us today, and hell of a program. I really enjoyed this conversation, and I'm sure people got a lot out of it. So how do people get in touch with you or with the, you know, with the movement?
Okay, so first I would tell people, go every week or every day to www.revcom.us. It's the voice of the Revolutionary Communist Party and the website for Revolution Newspaper. You can also hook up with the Struggle to End Pornography and Patriarchy, the Enslavement and Degradation of Women at stoppatriarchy.org. And, tune into Michael every week.
There you go. All right, Sansara, thank you very much. And talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks. All right, take care.
You're listening to The Michael Slate Show, and we've just been talking with Sansara Taylor, writer for Revolution Newspaper and RevCom.us, and an initiator of End Pornography and Patriarchy, the Enslavement and Degradation of Women. We've been talking on why the battle for abortion rights is such a critical question for everyone today, why there must be a defiant mass outpouring on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and how women can actually be liberated. What's it going to take? What could it look like? All the questions that come up that we really need to get down on, men and women need to get down on today, all right? And in relation to that, I want to recommend that everybody check out a major new work by Bob Avakian, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party. It's a brand new book called The Science, The Strategy, The Leadership for an Actual Revolution and a Radically New Society on the Road to Real Emancipation. I'm telling you, folks, this is a mind blower. It's something that you're going to read and reread and reread. It's just that important. It's challenging and inspiring, okay, to know that we can actually go out and change the world, that there's a science that can actually help us bring about the emancipation of all humanity. That's what this book is about. And it's available at revcom.us. That's right, revcom.us. And you can get that as a download. You can read it online, or you could place an order for the book when it's published very soon in book form. And you can get that along with many of the other works that Sansara Taylor was talking about during the course of our interview. Once again, that's revcom.us. That brings us to the end of yet another show. I want to thank Sansara Taylor for spending the time with us today. I'd also like to thank my engineer, Teddy Robinson, my intern, Alex Brenner, my production assistant, Jeff Pryor, and my assistant producer, Henry Carson, as well as each and every one of you for tuning in. If you have any comments or suggestions, or you just want to write to me, you can do that at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. Once again, that's mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. We're going to go out now with a song that I just get inspired by every time I hear it. It's Fighting Song by the band Outer National. Talk to you again next week.